Welcome to Book Me Podcast, sponsored by Nimbus Publishing. I'm Lindsay Claude Rainingbird. Join me as we journey through contemporary Canadian literature, reading as much as we can and chatting with authors, illustrators, and other bookish folk, celebrating our dynamic, diverse, and vibrant national literary scene as we go. So grab a snack, get cozy, break that binding, dog-ear those pages. Let's dig into it. This morning, we have Susan Sinnott joining us on Zoom to chat about her beautiful and heartrending book, The Remembering. This Newfoundland-set novel follows three generations of women over two decades as they navigate the trials and tribulations of life, the ways in which memory can bolster or bury you, and what happens to a family when its beloved matriarch faces dementia. The delicate way this book handles trauma is like the deft cracking of an egg, exposing all of the love, shame, family secrets, and messiness of relationships that are always right there under the surface. It also does an amazing job of expressing the idea of memory and the way we are always recalibrating and reframing our own choices and experiences as we look back throughout our lives. I really love the way this book moved me. I was so invested in the Wallace family, and I think this is a story that really longs and deserves to be read. Welcome to the podcast, Susan.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here, and thanks for the lovely intro, too.
We'll start off, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about your book.
Yes. Well, as a quick overview, this is a story about family and home. Specifically, it's about the members of the Wallace family who, at the start of the book, have been devastated by an attack on their youngest daughter. And it's about the fallout from that attack and the struggle to cope and adapt and rebuild. The idea grew out of my work life, which all took place in hospitals, where in the later years I saw people with permanent or long-lasting physical problems and disabilities. And I came to realize that outside of the person's own efforts and fortitude, his or her home circumstances and family dynamics made a huge difference to that person's progress. The trauma at the heart of this story is not the result of an accident known to all, but of a sexual assault occurring before the start of the book in which the family tries to keep secret. The novel begins a few days after the youngest daughter, Eve, has been sexually assaulted. And this event affects not just her own physical emotional self, but her marriage and her job, and her relations to the rest of the world. It all becomes infinitely worse when Eve discovers she's pregnant, too late for an abortion, and therefore she must go through with the delivery process and put the baby up for adoption. Eve retreats into herself, so although her plight is central to the novel, nothing is told from her point of view, and she does not start to regain her voice until later in the book. Eve's mother, Liz, is the main character. She's the matriarch and newly widowed, but she continues to chat to her late husband, George, telling him all about the events of the day. So she becomes the narrator for the first half of the book. Liz's goal throughout the novel is to keep the family together. But when she begins to lose her memory, she worries that instead of helping, she may become a burden. In that way, some of the narration later in the book is taken by the middle daughter, Caroline, and the granddaughter, Rosie. Roles change, but in a way, Liz still holds the family together, first by looking out for all the rest of them, and later by the rest of them pulling together to look out after her. It's a generational story. Grandmother Wallace, her three daughters, Ginny, Carol, and Eve, and a granddaughter, Rosie. Three of everything, three points of view, three generations, three sisters, to allow for a wide range of perspectives and personalities and experience. The story is set in St. John's, Newfoundland, where the family unit is still important, but it's not a local story. It could happen anywhere. And the problems and issues faced by the Wallace family are global. Although it starts with trauma and involves some difficult issues, overall, it's a positive story about how the family adapts and absorbs the difficulties over time, and with love and patience and lots of humor, becomes stronger in the process.
Yes. So there is quite a bit of trauma that takes place right at the beginning of this book. And I was curious what it was like for you to have to inhabit that place while you were writing.
Yes, well, that is difficult. I try to imagine how each character would act using facts I've learned from my research about people in similar situations and facts I know about the characters because I've created them. And then it's an educated guess as to how they would think and feel. In real life, you can never know what goes on in someone's mind or feel what they are feeling. But in fiction, you can maybe imagine yourself a little closer to it because you know everything there is to know about them as you created them. Personally, I have to give the characters some hope because I want the story to be positive. I don't mean a happy ending, just that there is some progress, some small change for the better.
Definitely. I agree. I think that you definitely need hope in a story that's difficult and heavy like this one is. And I love the way you wrote the characters. I thought that they were all just so nuanced and well-developed, and they all had such distinct voices. What's your process like when you create these characters? How do you dream them up?
Well, I spend a lot of time wondering what a character is going to do in a certain situation before I let her do or say anything. I have to go back in time to see what experiences, what expectations might have influenced her. So I end up writing or thinking mountains of backstory, which never end up in the book, to make sure she acts in character. Sometimes a bit of dialogue in the previous chapter will bug me, so I have to go back and change it to make it fit better, which might mean I have to change her actions in everything written after that. So I need to know what drives the character before I can predict what they'll do.
Yeah. So you settled on the three point of views, and I was particularly drawn to Liz. I thought her point of view, the matriarch who's struggling with dementia, was just so authentically done, and it felt really honest. I'm wondering if you had experience being around people with dementia or how you came to create a character that felt so true.
Everyone I know has some relative or some friend with dementia. So yes, in a way, I have heard of or seen personally dementia in action. I did try to give Liz some insight, which makes it sadder in a way because she's more aware of what's happening to her, but it makes her more of a real person for longer. I did do a lot of research into dementia as well, into the different types, although they all end up the same. But really, it's more observation of people around me.
And the book is called The Remembering. What did the title and memory in general, what does that mean to you? And what do you hope your readers take away from that?
Yes. Well, memory is, we need our memory to perform everyday tasks. And we need it to survive. We'd be lost without it. But retrieval of memory from our brains is not always easy. We don't seem to have much control over its filing systems. And for Eve, a sound, a texture, a smell can trigger an unwanted flashback, while Liz struggles through the alphabet searching for a simple word, and Rosie regrets never having a single memory of her father to look back on. We don't realize just how much we use our memory until we start losing it. And to me, Tennessee Williams says it all. He says that life is all memory, except for the present moment that goes by you so quickly, you hardly catch it going.
That's a beautiful quote. Yeah. And I found that in the book, you did such an interesting job of taking the memories and what they remember and how they remember it throughout their lives, the way they look back and catch something new from it. I also really like the way that Liz, because she's struggling with her own memory, it drives that plot forward with not knowing what she should and shouldn't say, and sometimes revealing things that she might not otherwise have done.
Yes. Yes, I think that's one of the things that happens with dementia fairly soon. You sort of lose the brakes, and you stay and do things that you probably wouldn't have done. And it's memory of everything that's affected, of how to do little household tasks and how to react. We tried to get as many forms of memory, as many results of not having it, or of having it too much, or having it falsely, because memory is not very accurate. You get a few people being witnesses for an accident, and they'll all remember different things. And it's very difficult to decide what's accurate and what's just people focusing on different aspects. Memory is fascinating to me.
Definitely, yeah. And I found that the relationship and the situation that happens between Eve, who gets pregnant from this attack and decides to keep the baby, but we don't find out really if it's her husband's child or not. The way you address that situation is so delicate and you give it so much care. And I found really beautiful just the fairness you use for all of the characters that are affected by it and the way that they react differently. And even Michelle, the husband of Eve, who ends up leaving, possibly Rosie's father, I found that you just treated his character fairly as well, even though you could have villainized him, I think, but you didn't. And I thought that was a really interesting and fair choice of you.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I'm glad that came through. I didn't want Michelle to come over as the bad guy. He had some of the wrong reactions, maybe, but who doesn't in the heat of the moment? And he tried his best for quite a while to absorb everything. He just couldn't do it. But he wasn't really a bad guy.
Exactly. And we all have different reactions and reactions to a trauma like that. I feel like all reactions are valid. And I just really like the way that you showed that in the story. So one of the other things I was curious about was your writing process. Do you shut yourself up in an office? How do you birth such a beautiful book like this that is just so well done in every way? The plot, the characters, I loved it all.
Well, no, I do shut myself up a little bit. I have my own little corner in the house with my desktop and a blank wall in front of me, so I'm not distracted. So that's how I prefer to write, although I do also enjoy writing in a notebook in a coffee shop with other people. But my best writing is done isolated. I'm lucky I'm retired. I can write any time. I don't need to stick to a schedule. And I'm somebody who writes off the cuff and starts with the characters and works from there. I would hate to have to do an outline. I know some wonderful writers work with an outline, but I'm one of the other kind. I have some idea of where the story's going, but it changes as I go because I never know what the characters are going to have to do and say, the characters that are grown.
I love that. I love the idea that the characters have their own ideas of where the book is going to go and you have to follow them a little bit.
Yes. The ending changes with the weather. It's never...
Depending if it's sunny or rainy, you could have happy or sad endings. You never know. And you said that you have mountains of backstory when you create these characters. So I was curious if you would know, because I always like to ask on the podcast what you're reading, if you would know what your character's favorite books might be.
Yes. Well, I think Liz would have gone to murder stories, but she wouldn't have liked all the modern ones with the lots of blood and gore. I think she would probably have gone back to the old-fashioned ones, the Agatha Christie's and Dorothy Sayers, and something to a bit of escapism without it being too nasty in her book. And later on, I think she would reread the same old books because it's quite convenient sometimes to have forgotten the plot.
Well, there's a moment in the book that I loved where Liz is reading a book at her bedside table. And because she can no longer remember what she's read, she just restarts it. She says, oh, this looks interesting book. And then she begins to read it again and again. And she never actually finished. I just thought that was a really lovely detail.
I think that's one of the few advantages of losing your memory. Yeah.
So that's Liz. Who else would you say has...
Well, I think Eve would have been somebody who would read literature. But after this, the assault, I think she would be very careful of what she read. I think she dropped her reading group because so many of the books were uncomfortable topics, and she wouldn't want to be involved in other people's opinions and statements that might set off her, trigger her memories. So I think she would go for escapist sort of literature, maybe fantasy, and I think she'd read a lot of French literature if she could to keep up. She trained in Montreal. I think she would want to keep up her French. So I think her choices would be a bit limited. The most exciting reader, I think, would be Carly, who would read everything. But she's also spent a lot of her day writing. So at times she would want just something easy and light and escapist too, just as a change. So I think fantasy and science fiction would do the job, although she would also read books recommended to her.
I thought Carly was such a great character, and she was one of the ones I related to the most. I loved how blunt she was. So Carly is the aunt of Rosie and the sister of Eve, who has been away but decides to move back and be more present with the family. And she's almost like a second mom to Rosie for a while. But anyways, I just loved how blunt she was and how she would always say the things that in the way that you maybe wasn't the best way to put things, but she couldn't help herself. And I just relate so much with that. Always putting my own foot in my mouth too.
We've not related to that.
With the greatest of intentions, though.
Well, I wanted her to be a bit like that because she's the second daughter, and she's only a year behind her older sister, and she wants to. She doesn't want to get swamped by an older sister, so I think she learned to be a little bit on the aggressive side, or at least assertive. From early days, so she still jumps in and says what she thinks without maybe filtering it first.
And there's a point in the novel where she talks about how as a young person, as a teenager, she put herself in so many positions that were maybe not the best. They were kind of dangerous. She always put herself in situations that could have turned out very badly, but never did. And to have to watch her own sister, who was not like that and was very careful, then become the victim of such violence. To me, that was just so hard, but, you know, so hard to read, but also just like that's I feel like the experience of so many of us, that we can relate to that a lot.
Oh, I think it's a form of survivor guilt, and it does. Yes, I think we do feel that.
So that's Carly. And then lastly, I think it was Rosie who had the other point of view. Maybe you could just let me know what you think Rosie would have read.
Rosie, I think, I think she very much admires Carly. So she's finding an interest in science fiction. And she is fancying doing an English degree eventually.
Right.
So she's reading everything she can. And of course, school. She'll have reading lists from school, and she will read literature. She'll read anything she gets her hands on. She's probably a little bit sarcastic about Liz's reading choices with the romances and the sort of cozy murder.
Cozy murder. I've heard of that. The cozy thrillers that people have been into lately.
Yeah, well, they seem to have a lot of, there's some British ones, and there's sort of a dead body in the coffee shop.
And what about you? What have you read recently that's touched you? Anything you want to share?
Well, lately I'm reading Precious Little by Camille Fouillard, which is set in Labrador, and it's a story about memory and family and community and their collective history. So it's very delicately written and a difficult topic, and it's a beautiful book.
So maybe a good one to pick up after reading your book.
It will be.
Well, I'll have to do that one next then. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Susan. I love chatting about your book. It was a gorgeous read, and I really hope that everybody listening picks it up and reads it too.
Well, thank you. This has been very exciting.
The Remembering by Susan Sinnott is available now everywhere books are sold.
And thank you for listening and hanging out with us. Join me next time on this book lover's journey as we try to read more, read Canadian, read local. You know, all the good things.